sounds great, but I don't think it could possibly apply to me. Well, you know what? It does, because you're part of this group right here that from the beginning God promised to deliver in whom, who? All the people of the earth would be blessed.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ, Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, folks, Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of all who believe. And as we again celebrate His first coming into the world, it will be with an eye toward that whole grand story of why He came. Why did He come? What must we do in response to His coming? And what will happen when He comes again? Because the Scriptures tell us that Jesus is coming again. I want to ask you a question here first this morning, and that is, do you think that the world needs a deliverer? Does the world need a Savior, a Messiah, a deliverer? Well, what do you think? Is it just fine the way it is? I don't think so either. I think it doesn't take a great scholar to see that something has gone drastically wrong in the world. And the Bible has a word for what is wrong with the world, a word for what is wrong with me, a word that is wrong with all of us. And actually, it's a word, though, that is growing increasingly out of favor in our society, though, because our culture doesn't like the word because of its connotations, and they even say it might have a judgmental-sounding nature about it. Does anyone know what word I'm talking about? Sin. That's right, sin. Sin. Well, Scripture gives us a number of different windows or understandings on sin. It says that it is a moral transgression against the law of God, the moral law of God. It is falling short of the glory of God. It is lawlessness. In effect, sin is human beings saying to God, thanks, but we'll take it from here. We know better. We will be the judge of what is good, what is right, what is best, what is right and wrong. And on the personal level then, sin says, I'm in charge. I'll be the judge of what is true, what is good, what is right, what is best. And I wonder, how's that working out? How's that working out for us? Right? How's that working out for you? How's it worked out for me? So again, I ask, does the world need a deliverer? Does the world need someone to save it from itself? Does the world need someone to deliver it from its sin and all the consequences that sin has brought upon us? Do you know someone who needs a deliverer? Do you need a deliverer? Well, the answers to those questions are yes, 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 and yes, if you've been keeping score. But I have some good news for you. And that good news is that God has sent a deliverer for the world, a deliverer for your neighbor, a deliverer for a member of your family, a deliverer for you. And His name is Jesus. He is called the Christ, and Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah, the deliverer. And Jesus is the Christ, the one who has come to deliver us from our sin, to give us eternal life and blessing. And there's no better news than that. And that word up there that you see, gospel, the gospel means what? Good news. And as we considered last week, there are many wonderful aspects of that gospel story of the good news. But at the heart of it is the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Scripture says that God made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. That Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience to God's law. And then He willingly went to the cross, where He was punished for our transgressions. He died, He was buried, and then He rose again as a powerful proof of His victory over sin and death. So the gospel is the good news that Jesus has triumphed. And through faith in Him, we can be declared righteous in right standing with God, holy and just before God. We can be forgiven for our sins. We can receive the gift of eternal life. And then with Christ, we will inherit unimaginable blessing forever and ever. And so through Christ then, God has reversed the curse of sin. And He's making all things new. And I would say that that is indeed good news. It's very good news. So we're continuing then with our look at the gift of the gospel. Christmas is the celebration of the birth of the deliverer, the gift of the gospel, the gift of the good news. We're going to look today for just a little bit at what were some of the promises that God made about this deliverer. In our primary text is in Genesis 12, where we see that even right from the beginning that God promised a deliverer in whom all the people of the earth would be blessed, all the people of the earth. Is there anyone in this room here this morning who's not a part of that group, all the people of the earth? Every one of us is a member of that group, right? And so Jesus is for you. From the beginning, God has promised a deliverer in whom all the people of the earth, you, me, all of us in this room, all the people in this world, for all time, would be blessed. Let's look at the book of Genesis chapter 12. Book of Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to look at verses 1 through 3 there. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" I want us to consider a couple of things in this text. The first is bold faith, this bold faith of Abram here. Abram, his name means exalted father. But just a short time after this, God would give him a new name. A new name. Abram's new name would be what? Abraham. So Abram is exalted father, but he would become Abraham, which means father of a multitude, father of a great many. And when we're introduced to this man of great faith, Abram, here in the scriptures, he is living in a city far from the promised land, living in a city called Ur, along with his father, Terah. And he lived there in a pagan culture. And his father, Terah, was an idol worshiper. But somehow in the midst of that culture, in the midst of that family situation, the true and the living God called Abram. God has a way of doing that, doesn't he? Of calling out to people no matter where they are, no matter where they live, no matter what the culture is like around them, no matter what their family situation may be, no matter what their past may be, God broke through and called to Abram, revealed himself to Abram, revealed himself as the true and living God. So he made himself known to Abram, and he called him, and he told him to leave Ur, leave that pagan city, and go to another land, the land of Canaan. Now that entire family then migrated to, first though, to a city called Haran. And at the death of Terah, Abram's father, God's call then once again came to Abram. And he was told, as we have seen in the text here, that he must leave his country. He must leave his father's home. And he must go to the land that the Lord would show him. Now that's a huge step of faith. Just let's think about that for just a moment. Isn't that a huge step of faith? Here's Abram had a very comfortable life. Now he was an older man. He had a family to care for. He was very prosperous. You might say he was set for life. And then, bang, just like that, God says to him, "Leave that all behind and go to a land that I will show you." You know, God didn't even tell him exactly where he was going. How many of us want to know exactly what the plan is before we'll move out, right? What a bold step of faith on Abram's part, though. He's all set. He's comfortable. And God says, "Leave that all behind. And by the way, I'm not even going to tell you exactly where you're going. Just kind of head that direction." How many of us would have the faith to do that? Would you do something like that now? Leave everything behind that's comfortable, that's safe, that's familiar, in order to embrace a total unknown? I know we've got a couple in the, up here that would do that, if few of you, right? Why? Because someone purporting to be the Lord of the universe said to do so. Well, fortunately for us, Abram did that. He obeyed the call of God. He left his country, his father's household, to go to the land that God would show him. And I want you to know that Abram was by no means a perfect man. We got any perfect people in here this morning? No. He was not a perfect man. His faith was not always perfect. Scripture makes that abundantly clear when you read the whole story of Abram. But nevertheless, here we see a powerful demonstration of faith. He left behind everything to follow God, and he believed what God said. And then he demonstrated that faith with his obedience to God's command. So now in numerous passages in the Scriptures, he is pointed to then now as an example of faith. And when Abram left his home behind, he couldn't possibly have understood everything that God was going to do in him and through him. But nevertheless, he believed God. And the Apostle Paul states in the book of Romans, God credited it to him as righteousness. But with this bold faith, though, there came a promise. There came a promise by God, and it was a promise of astounding blessing. Astounding blessing. The word blessing, you know what? There's one of those religious words, one of those church words, blessing. What do we mean by that? Blessing? Well, blessing means divine favor or approval. It's goodness, good gifts, expressions of goodness and kindness. And God emphatically declares, I will bless you. I will pour out my favor and my approval on you. Because God rewards faith and obedience. He always has. And he certainly continues to do so today. Anybody here believe that God rewards faith and obedience? Can I get a witness, as the old preacher used to say, right? Thank you. So God commanded Abram to leave his country, to go to the land he would show him. You know, there are actually two commands in this passage, although it's not as apparent in our English Bibles. But in that original language of that text there in Hebrew, the first command that we see clearly is what? To leave. To leave and go. Leave and go to this land. But the second command, though, is he tells him to be a blessing. Be a blessing. That phrase rendered, so that you will be a blessing, literally means be a blessing. Abram, leave, go to that land, and be a blessing. God was going to bless Abram in order that he might be a blessing. And God is still in the business of doing that today, isn't he? That he calls us to believe and to obey. And then he blesses us in various many ways in order that, what? We might bless others, be a blessing. And here God's promise to Abram of blessing is threefold. It's personal, it's national, a nation, and it's also, though, universal for you and me. See, God promised personal blessing to Abram. He said that he would directly, personally bless him, which we see God do later in Genesis with wealth, with blessings on those who had blessed him, protection from his enemies, and then the birth of a son in his old age along with his wife, Sarah. And through this, God would make Abram's name great. And to this day, his name, Abraham, it remains great, doesn't it? Highly revered by people of faith all over the world. We're talking about him again this morning. His name has been made great. God has fulfilled that promise of personal blessing to him. But there was also a promise of national blessing. Besides this personal blessing, there would be blessing to a nation of people. God said that he would make him into a great nation. And it was through Abram that the Jews, the nation of Israel, would come. that Israel was God's chosen nation through whom would come the law and the prophets, and then most importantly of all, who would come through them? Jesus, the deliverer. The deliverer, the Messiah. God would make him a great nation, and God would bless this great nation too as they walked in faith and obedience to him. But what is most important in this, though, for you and me to understand, is that there was a promise of universal blessing in this as well. Aren't you glad that this promise of God's blessing, his favor, was not just for Abram? It was not just for the Jews, for the nation of Israel. But no, this promise of blessing through Abram was for all the peoples of the earth, all the families of people of the earth. The Messiah who was to come through the Jewish people was not just for the Jews. He was and is for who? Everyone. Everyone of all time. He is for you. And so this astounding blessing promised to Abram is offered to you today. And all you must do, all any of us must do, is respond to that call, that offer, with what? Faith. Faith, believing God, trusting Him that what He says is true. Respond with faith, then, in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been talking about promises of a deliverer. Last week we saw that very first one right there, that even as Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, God promised a deliverer. Here we see this promise of blessing in the person of Abram, that this blessing would be for all the people of the world, for all time. But you know, there were other promises about the deliverer, other promises that are in the Scriptures. Now maybe you've wondered this question before. What else did the Old Testament prophesy, promise, or say about the deliverer? Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this morning, but if you want to go a little more in depth with it, there is an information sheet on the library table out there that lists all of these things here. Have you ever wondered, did Jesus Christ really fulfill the prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah? Well, let me give you just a few of those very quickly, with the Old Testament reference and then where it's found, the fulfillment of it in the New Testament. Like, for example, this, that he would be born of a virgin and called Emmanuel, that he would be born at Bethlehem, that he would be presented with gifts, that he would be preceded by a messenger. Who was that messenger? John the Baptist. That he would engage in a ministry of miracles. By the way, let's check. So we have born of a virgin called Emmanuel, check. Born at Bethlehem, check. Presented with gifts, check. Preceded by a messenger, check. Ministry of miracles, check. A teacher of parables, check. He would enter Jerusalem on a donkey, check. Betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, silent before his accusers, wounded for our transgressions. His forsaken cry, my God, why have you forsaken me, on the cross as the penalty for sin was laid on him, check. Buried in a rich man's tomb. But you know what the greatest one of all? Which one haven't I mentioned yet? Resurrected from the grave. Check. How many of you are glad we can say check on that one? Double check. Not a discount double check. But a great check. Well, we've been talking about promises of a deliverer, God's promises of a deliverer who would come. I'd like to talk for just a minute then about the deliverer's promises. God promised a deliverer. What has the deliverer, Jesus, promised? Well, here's some of the things that he has promised. A lot of things. Here's some of them. Forgiveness for how much of our sin? All. Is there anything that you have done or I have done that is just so bad, so horrible, that God can't forgive it? No, there isn't. Everything we have done wrong. How many of you know that when we do wrong, we carry that with us. No matter how we might try to deny it, we carry that guilt with us, don't we? And there's consequences for that. And we need forgiveness. And the deliverer promises that all of your sin, past, present, and even future, is forgiven through him. He also promises then perfect righteousness, perfect holiness. Do you know that God says when we put our trust in Christ, our sin is forgiven, but then also something incredible happens in us where God says we become a new creation, a new person, and he looks at you, and we know what he sees in you. He sees absolute perfection. He sees you as perfect, righteous with the very holiness of God himself, with Jesus himself. And that's his gift. And some of you think, well, I know some Christians, they're not very perfectly righteous. And you know what, I would agree with you, starting with myself. But the reality is that is God has promised that, and it's not ours now by faith, but one day in his presence, that promise will be fully delivered on, won't it?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Forgiveness for all sin, perfect righteousness. You'll never, in his presence, we'll never sin again. And sin is what's wrong with everything, isn't it? Wouldn't do us any good if we were forgiven for our sin if we just continued eternally to sin, would it? Forgiveness for all our sin, perfect righteousness, eternal life. Eternal life, Scripture says the wages or the penalty, the consequence of sin is death. There is physical death, but then there is what the Scriptures call the second death, which is an eternal separation, a place of judgment, forever and ever separated from him. But God says, through Christ, though, is not that death is life. Remember Jesus said in that wonderful passage in the Gospel of John, that even though you die physically, yet will you live in him, in Christ. And those who live and believe in him will never die spiritually, that second death. Jesus also promises rest for tired souls. Anybody a tired soul here this morning? Yeah. Check. There you go. Okay. Jesus says, come unto me. I will give you rest for your weary souls. You know what he was talking about there? It's not just weary souls, like life can beat us up and make us tired. That's true. And he's rest in that sense too. He's saying, you know what? You've got all these, he's talking to the people in his day, saying, you've got all these religious teachers, instructors who just want to keep pouring on more and more rules and regulations for you to obey. And it's exhausting, isn't it? But come to me and I will give you rest. Because in his love, in his forgiveness, in his promise of life is rest for weary souls. Tired of trying to fulfill all the demands and requirements of the religious laws. Rest for tired souls. Promises his constant presence. Says what? I will never do what? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Promises help in temptation. How many of you know that temptation is difficult sometimes? Scripture says he knows what it's like to be tempted. He was tempted in every way, just as we are. But one big difference, what? He was without sin, right? Check. Right. Provision for our needs. Check. Not all that we want, but all that we need. And someday, in his presence, all that we want, yeah, that too, because we're going to want what he wants for us, right? Provision for our needs. Answered prayer. How many of you can testify that he answers prayer?
Check.
And then this last one, eternal blessing beyond our imagination, our wildest imagination. Scripture says it's not even entered into our heart, our minds, what God has prepared for those who love him. Wow, that sounds like pretty good news, isn't it? That's the gospel. That's the good news. So what? What do you want me to do about it? Sounds great, but I don't think it could possibly apply to me. Well, you know what? It does, because you're part of this group right here that from the beginning God promised to deliver in whom? Who? All the people of the earth would be blessed. Why don't you say that to yourself? Put your name in that. From the beginning, God promised to deliver in whom? You, your name. State your name. You ever see? Why is it in movies whenever you know it's coming, where they'll say, I state your name. What does everyone do in the movie? I state your name. They all do that joke, right? Well, I want you to state your name, okay? From the beginning, God promised to deliver in whom would be blessed. See, it's for you. So I'd ask you, have you trusted the deliverer for the forgiveness of sin and eternal life? So you don't have to follow a bunch of religious rules and regulations. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to obey God's commands. We're called to do that. But that's not the basis of our forgiveness in our life. Aren't you glad that's not the basis of it? We'd be in pretty serious trouble. What is the basis? That Jesus did it for us. So we put our trust in Him for forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Some of you say, yeah, I do, but boy, life is... How many of you know that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean life gets instantly easy all the time? How many of you know that? In fact, there may come challenges that come because you are a follower of Christ, right? But you know what? You have a deliverer who's present with you in the midst of life's challenges, the difficulties, whatever is weighing you down this morning. He said, He's the one who said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He's the one who said that what? He will work for good in most things, in all things, right? And then I'm wondering, some of us are tired. Our souls are tired still, even. But did you know that there is joy in knowing Him? There's joy in serving Him. And I wonder, do you joyfully serve the deliverer? Do you joyfully serve the deliverer, giving thanks? Giving thanks for the eternal blessing that we have in Him. Well, I would say that is all very, very good news. Our children sang that story, that old story to us this morning. I would pray that that story would be more than just a story, that it would be the story of your life, something that resonates in your heart and mine, that you would say to God, yes, I believe that story. I need the deliverer. I believe in the deliverer. And I thank you for Him. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this wonderful deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom all the people of the earth, all the state your name, is blessed. And this blessing comes through faith. Not our efforts, not our efforts to be better than the guy next door to us, not our efforts to go to church on every Sunday, but no, through believing that Jesus Christ lived for me, died for me, and rose for me. We thank you for Him. We thank you and pray for all these. I've got to pray. There's someone here this morning, and maybe the light's turning on, and they get it, and they understand it for the first time. If that's you, maybe you just pray along with me now and say, God, I do believe this. I do know that I need a deliverer. I admit that I've sinned, that I have transgressed your holy law, that I'm due judgment for that. But I believe Jesus came for me. I believe He lived a perfect life of faith and obedience for me, that my sin was placed on Him on the cross. He took my punishment. He died, He was buried, and He rose again in order that I might rise with Him and conquer death just as He conquered death for me. I believe that. Forgive me now, Lord. Thank you for giving me eternal life. Help me now, Lord, to grow in faith and obedience with you. Thank you, God, for this gospel, this good news. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.